A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to another Egg Chasers Rugby podcast, but unlike every other Egg Chasers Rugby podcast where we are in the depths of the rugby dungeon, we have decided that since we are the only rugby podcast doing a podcast throughout the summer and 52 weeks of the year,
that's right,
we deserve some sunlight. So we're sat in JB's back garden. I'm Tim, that's Phil.
Hello, Tim.
That's JB.
Hello, Tim.
Your chickens are just... what are they doing there?
Well, they dig a hole, right? So this is the whole farce of, battery farming versus free range. Chickens naturally will gravitate towards one place. So if you look in that corner, there's three chickens all combined in one small fox-sized treat. So no matter how much space they've got, they'll always combine into a small group.
Yeah, they've got 30 metres squared in this back garden.
Exactly. You'd have thought they'd measured it out and given themselves 10 metres squared each.
Exactly.
Idiots.
But they're within 10 inches of each other.
Terrible defensive formation, that.
Oh, awful. Gaps everywhere.
But we've just watched the Super Rugby final. We've got the Olympic Sevens to look forward to. We've got Willie LaRue, another big signing for Wasps. And there's other signings going on. And there's all sorts of other news which we will run through. Because we're outside, we don't have all of the technology at our disposal. That's why it sounds different.
Yep.
But we think you'll enjoy... You know, change is as good as a rest sometimes,
exactly,
isn't
right.
it?
Exactly right, Tim.
But we don't have the gizmos and gadgets to do the theme tune. So, gentlemen, would you fancy using your golden pipes? Hands in. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, sorry.
Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three, pod. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three egg chasers that love rugby. Yeah, you can stop now, that's fine.
I've got a few more verses.
Oh, sorry.
Let's get to the bridge.
You can find us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. You can listen to us on Acast, you can listen to us on iTunes and subscribe on either. And then every episode, 52 weeks a year, ladies and gentlemen, will get delivered straight to you. Can I give you my favourite review on iTunes of the last week?
You certainly can.
This is from Tar Fan Man, who says, further to recent comments about this podcast not covering South African Curry Cup or Bay of Plenty rugby in enough detail, can I just point out that in spite of the name, there's a distinct lack of discussion on eggs and or chasing. As a fan of both eggs and chasing, I was delighted to have finally found a podcast dedicated to both. I've been disappointed to date. Fortunately, I like rugby, which seems to be the main tangent these guys go off on.
It's true.
Their chat on this front is informative and funny. For that reason, I'll still give it a begrudging 5 stars. However, I will be looking for another podcast dedicated to eggs and chasing.
Very true. Very true.
Should we talk about eggs, seeing as the chickens are here?
No, that's not.
Okay.
Oh, well, it would have been the perfect time to have crossed over.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, leave your review on iTunes. And while you're at it, while you're online, get yourself to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers.
Great idea.
And sample the finest razor on the market. And, yeah, I mean, freshly cornerstoned yourself, JB, to watch the Super Rugby final this morning.
Exactly right. I wouldn't watch it in any other way.
Bowden Barrett looks like when he finally reaches puberty, he can... he can benefit from a cornerstone.
Well, the thing is about Bowden Barrett is he could go for the less hairy option and get less raises a month because all the plans are flexible.
Oh, yes. And no obligation as well. Yeah. And with your £10 discount you get for listening to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, you could get your premium engraved shaft for just £4. Engraved with your initials on it and sent to you in a beautiful cornerstone box. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or...
Egg 10 at checkout.
Right. Should we talk? I almost don't want to talk about that Super Rugby final. Now it's happened.
I don't know. Maybe it's better than I gave it credit for. At the time, I was thinking this is miserable, but that's because they score like 80 points a game or something ridiculous. And it was nice to go back to rugby where, you know, it wasn't mackerel fishing.
Not only were there not very many tries, there was some, at times, some very poor standard of play. Yeah. There was quite a lot of knock-ons. There was quite a few passes into touch. And Elton Yanties, who's been brilliant this season,
looked off his game.
Had a real off
day. I wonder if it's because of how much pressure they put on them.
Yeah.
One of the things I would say is the ferocity of the hits was
huge.
And you don't really associate that with Super Rugby. The defence was far better, probably, than it has been in previous weeks.
Well, three games of Super Rugby knockout rugby for the Hurricanes this year, still not conceded a try.
Is that right?
Yeah. What? So didn't concede a quarter-final, semi-final, final, no tries conceded.
Yes.
And they did have the kind of quick press that we've seen the Lions having and really disrupting teams with. But
yeah, I think that's exactly what happened today. Is they came up so quick on Yanties that he didn't get a chance to play.
Yeah. And the conditions didn't help. I mean, it's the equivalent of mid-December in the Southern Hemisphere. It was driving rain for most of the game, or a brief bit of rest in the start of the second half, but driving rain the rest of the time. Freezing cold, so it doesn't help. It's not conducive to good rugby.
How did you boys feel about the results?
Phil's beloved Canes winning.
My Canes shirt on, mm-hmm. Very proud. It was kind of what I expected. Very pleased for the Canes to be. I mean, it's two years on the bounce. They've been the best team, and last season they lost in the final after being the best team for most of the season. And this year they were arguably not quite as good on average as they were last year, having lost a few players, in particular two centres, Nonu and Conrad Smith. But they were still very, very good. And someone like Bowden Barrett, who's been the best player in the competition, the top point scorer in the competition, scored 15 points last weekend, scored 15 points this weekend. I think it's kind of deserved for the Canes.
I think it would have been an injustice had the Lions managed to have home advantage for the final, because they're in the
injustice, you say?
The easier, they're in the conference system and the way it works, playing Jaguares and the Sunwolves, the fire puppies. But that said, Lions, I think, will be kicking themselves that they didn't just put a couple more players out and do the business against Jaguares in the last regular season game, and they would have had that game at home, and I think they probably would have won.
Yeah.
A lot has been said about the death of South African rugby, and I think it's awesome that they got to the final. I was backing them all the way. They had to go through two superb teams to get here.
Yeah.
In the Crusaders and the Highlanders.
Last year's champions.
Yeah. And I really hope that they do it, just because it feels the game in New Zealand is in rude health, and they don't need any extra help. I mean, everything's fine there.
Julian Salvea, did he even get on?
No,
he did. He got on for a few minutes at the end.
I just think a Lions win would have done wonders for South African rugby.
It would have done. More important for South Africa than it is for New Zealand, like you say.
All we've done all year is talk about the New Zealand teams, and rightly so. They've been the best teams in the competition by a mile, especially that conference, the Surface Conference by far. The other South African teams have been woeful. They've been awful. The Australian teams, pretty awful in comparison. The Lions are the best of the rest, and comfortably the best of the rest.
Yeah, definitely. You got the best two teams in the final, which is the home advantage, and the conference system does lend itself to that.
Mm.
So I'm quite happy with that.
Can we talk about a few things? Before the game, in the build-up, the official tweets from the Super Rugby account. They've been running themselves. They've been administering themselves for 21 years, and they still don't know the Twitter handles of their teams.
Right. This. Okay. Let's just compose myself. This puts the pro in Pro 12. That's how amateur it is. They tweeted, get this, in the Super Rugby final, the grandest game of their whole season, their centrepiece. Now, the Hurricanes, a Twitter account dedicated to Hurricane news.
At Hurricanes.
Going to play who?
The Detroit Lions.
The Detroit Lions.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong, I'd watch it if you can organise it. You'd probably sell a few more tickets.
Who do you think? I don't know what tactic the Detroit Lions would use to try and defeat a Hurricane. It's kind of...
This is just the admin. This is the IT guys who sit behind a desk all day typing.
But how?
When a hurricane report comes in.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, they'd smash them. Yeah.
I mean, but how incompetent do you need to be?
And Dominican Sue going into... Oh, is he still there? He's not there anymore.
No, he's Dolphins.
He's Dolphins.
Highest paid defensive player ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fact.
So, how incompetent do you need to be to A, have a job where you work with computers, B, you're in charge of Twitter accounts, so I imagine you're used to this social media, but lastly, you work for the Super Rugby. And at every stage of your job, you are completely incompetent.
I'll tell you what else is incompetent. The hairdressers of New Zealand Super Rugby.
Well, you go two ways here. They could be extremely competent.
Yes, depends what your kind of...
Well, if someone had said... Yeah, if someone had said... If Ardy Surveyor said to his hairdresser, can you make me look like a pineapple? Then nailed it.
I did
highly competent.
Is it kind of the hairdressing equivalent of the Sydney Opera House? These things shouldn't stand, but somehow they do.
Everything's cantilevered off everything else. Yeah. It's incredible construct.
Amazing. And then you've got to play... Contact sport in it.
But yeah, what's most incredible, after 80 minutes in pouring rain, Ardy Surveyor's hair is exactly as it was when he went out. It's like there's some kind of force field around it. So
yeah.
It's not been affected by the sweat, the rain, the contact, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say I wasn't a huge fan of his hair, but seeing what it went through.
Yeah.
And just the sheer resilience of it.
Endurance, robust.
Yeah. What a player. Like, Beauden Barrett... we were talking about the kicking having been possibly a reason why he wasn't the All Blacks 10 before now. But he's answered all those critics. His kicking form's been brilliant, but his play is just so good.
His kicking's interesting, isn't it? Because he has that weird technique. Phil pointed out during the game, he kicks it very low.
Low, yeah.
That's because of the conditions.
Yeah, it feels to me like he's on the verge of slicing it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like he's done it wrong.
Well, every time we were kind of wincing as he struck the ball, because it's gone off at a strange angle. And it just glides low over the bar.
But he and Ardy Surveyor got to be starters for the All Blacks.
Well, it's interesting because neither of them are the incumbents.
No.
It was Cruden and Sam Kane starting at 10 and 7 respectively, even against Wales a couple of months ago. But those two have been absolutely sensational. And Ardy, I mean, both of their stats are incredible, but Ardy Surveyor's stats in the last two games for a back row. This game, he made... 15 tackles, he did miss one this game, got a couple of turnovers, and then made 57 metres with ball in hand for a number 7.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Which is better than...
And a lot of those are yards after contact as well. Like,
yeah.
Pumping those legs.
Which is better than any of the back three on his team.
The
only player that made more yards with ball in hand was Beauden Barrett.
Who would have thought Julian Surveyor would be the second best surveyor in this family?
There's a great either tweet or Instagram picture the other day. It was the two of them together, and it was titled as Ardy Surveyor with an unnamed fan.
We need to balance it up. That's some of the good. Some of the bad. The Hurricanes fans chant.
Oh.
It's right up there. So in the UK we have Bath.
No, that's great.
And Sail.
That's shit.
Sail.
Oh, sorry, that's bad.
That is bad.
Everybody can swear here.
Hurricanes.
Is that how it goes?
Hurricanes.
I've got to be like, it's a little bit more offensive than that, isn't it? It's more like Hurricanes. Hurricanes.
Well,
that's what happens when carry on.
And also they played it was so funny. They're so funny, such jokers. 60 minutes in and the rain started and there was a break in play and they started playing Always Take the Weather With You by Crowded House.
Yeah,
gimmicks. I'm not a big fan of gimmicks.
I'm not sure it is a gimmick, mate. I think that's actually number one in New Zealand now. I think that's how far they are.
I like the gimmick of when there was a reset scrum at one point, for no real reason, they let off all the pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
There was a load of flamethrowers going
for a defensive scrum.
Defensive reset scrum.
Wow.
I mean, you can understand that in South Africa, they love scrummaging that much.
Maybe they're just trying to make the scrum more exciting. It's part of IRB's or World Rugby's push to make scrummaging more palatable for the neutral.
When you've got the Tongan Bear as your loose head prop, you don't need to do a lot.
Feel uncomfortable about that nickname.
Yeah, let's see where you're coming from.
I just assume it's a gay thing.
I think it's gay slang, isn't it?
I've even forgotten the guy's name, genuine name.
I don't know his name.
What's his name?
Uhila.
Uhia. Cool. Nickname the Tonga Bear. Maybe it is a gay thing. What else would there be then if that were the case? The Argentine.
The Waikato priests.
The Argentine twinks. A big second. I don't know. A big number eight.
The
South
eight.
African daddy.
A South African daddy.
Oh, the French father figure.
French father figures. Well, how would that work? So, I guess you'd have to pick the team, wouldn't you? So, if there's a wing pairing, obviously one's got to be a lot older than the other.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's got to be a dominant guy.
A top and a bottom for the wingers.
Yeah.
And then the second real pairings as well.
Yeah, so it's a pairing. You've got to have one. It's kind of like Stephen Fry. One's got to be much older than the other. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how it, French father figures. Even goes to team selection.
I think we should stop there.
Maybe stop, hey? Yeah. What about that, boys?
LTBP, that's all I have to say.
Yeah.
LTBP.
Hey, we're part of the LTBP community.
Yeah, listening right now, you are part of the LTBP community, the Let the Boys Play community, and thank you very much for that. Well, while we're talking names and stuff, another story that's reared its head in the week was some scientists or researchers or academics at the University of Southampton declaring that Exeter Chiefs' name is offensive and they should change it.
To who? Who's it offensive to?
Well, who's it offensive to? Mainly because it's done in a positive light. They're not called Chiefs in an offensive way. They're called Chiefs because they're warriors.
No, you can understand the controversy over Redskins.
No, not
but,
really.
But even then, overwhelmingly, the support from the Native American people and everyone else kind of were like, no, crack on, let the boys play.
They've got a point. Cultural appropriation is a serious matter. I get very upset for things like Minnesota Vikings. I mean, the Vikings would be distraught if they thought that they wore helmets with two horns. They're primarily a maritime type force.
And had an 80s porn star stash.
I don't know who this is offending. My guess is it's one of those sort of papers. Is it a sociology paper, something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's just 30 grand wasted. That's what that is.
I mean, probably more offensive is the fact that Sale are named after sharks and they're a landlocked city 30 miles from the sea.
Well, hang on,
tigers take their name from an animal that doesn't exist on this continent.
Species appropriation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Saracens.
Now, I have many Muslim friends and they find this very offensive.
Rightly so.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else?
Well, I just think... And probably, I'd say it's clumsy, not offensive. Like, a county or a city known for tin mining and clotted cream.
Calling
yourselves Chiefs is a bit weird.
On a serious note, I do think it's a rubbish name. I think it's a genuinely rubbish name.
But the Tomahawk Chop is brilliant.
Tomahawk Chop is... But, like, would it not be cool? I like the Steelers name, because that's a town that made steel.
Yeah.
And actually, something like... Something to do with tin or mining, I think, would be really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Much cooler than the Chiefs. And as a dyslexic, I often spell Chiefs as chefs anyway.
Well, there you go. That's a good one. Drop the I. Swap the Native American headdress for a chef's hat. Tomahawk chop the tomato ketchup.
Oh, no. But you could come up with things like, what are the Chiefs cooking?
Oh, yeah. We're
cooking with gas now.
Chef's burn sale.
Yeah.
Slice and dice the opposition.
Why has no one gone with chefs yet? And also, they're pretty cool since all the celebrity chefs have come about and become popular.
The chefs are smoking. It works.
It goes on forever.
Yeah. Well, like you could have a tractor mascot. That might be more... The Exeter Farmers. Oh, I don't know. Exeter Pitmen.
I wouldn't waste this opportunity. I'd get rid of the awful Chiefs name.
Hold on. Exeter Rugby Club. Or Exeter Rugby.
Awesome.
Wow.
That's awesome. Exeter Rugby.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Yeah?
Exeter RFC. Why has no one done that?
Wow. Even RUFC if you want to be Maverick.
Well, the Chiefs thing's only been around since, I think, 2001 or something. It's not
old. Yeah, it's recent.
So, presumably, prior to this, they must have had some beautiful old crescents or coat of arms or something which they could just sew back onto their chest.
Oh, we've got an ambulance going by. This is the beauty of being outside. So if you just... I say if you're just tuning in, it's like I'm talking on the radio.
Yeah.
People generally
People
tend to listen
podcasts,
at the
mate.
Start. They don't tune into podcasts. So, you know we're outside in JB's back garden anyway. Right, one serious thing then. Christian Lealiafano. So as we talk, this is just a few hours ago, it was announced that he was suffering from leukemia.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's broken this morning.
That's awful.
It's awful, awful for him. And it's also, it's kind of a little bit sobering. Because you kind of think, you hear stuff about leukemia and this kind of stuff, and you almost think, like, I'm a relatively young, fit man, it's not going to affect me. if it can affect someone like...
Hold on, Phil. You're a young, very fit man.
Thanks, Tim.
But Lilia Thorne is fitter.
Oh, yeah, he really is.
He's both younger and fitter.
He's just come forward as well, so that's...
Because he missed the first
I know there's different types, so... best of luck to him.
Yeah, massively best wishes.
Absolutely. It's hard to know what to move on to from that.
Should we go... Because there's been two chiefs in the news this week, the Exeter Chiefs.
Okay, so from one awful disease to another. Steve Hansen. Let's have a talk about his comments, shall we?
So, do you want to give us the background to the comments from the Waikato Chiefs?
Oh, yeah, let's get really into this. Let's really dig deep into it.
Yeah.
So if people haven't heard the story, how would you sum it up, JB?
Okay, so this happened a few weeks ago when the Waikato Chiefs went out for a few beers on their equivalent of Mad Monday, which I assumed was a rugby league thing only. Turns out it's not. It's been adopted by rugby union teams as well. So you go out, you get very, very drunk, and if you do really well Mad Monday, apparently you can go out for a Twats Tuesday as well. That's according to lads in Bath.
For the brave and true.
Yeah, for the brave and true. So they go out, they order a stripper.
Stripper.
Apparently there was some inappropriate touching. That's why. Now, it's inappropriate, I think... From what I've read, it's just, they just reached out. Whatever it is.
The rules are laid out. Any touching is inappropriate. It is. With a stopper.
Now, I think where they're going to jump into a bit of trouble here is is when the Chiefs' head of PR, whatever, came out and said, she isn't basically the most trustworthy character. Now, from that, Steve Hansen said, well, I don't think we need policies anyway, which doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, Steve Hansen's comments on this, he's just been... had his contract extended recently with New Zealand as their head coach. He says that Mad Mondays have to end.
He can... See, the thing about Steve Hansen, any B-level coach could get the All Blacks to a semi-final, okay? He hasn't proved himself in any form of club rugby. He hasn't really proved himself in international rugby outside of New Zealand. He's hung on to the coattails of...
Graham Henry.
And he disguises the fact that he doesn't actually do a particular large amount of coaching... by saying things like, oh yeah, we'll get the lads to put tape in the bin and we'll be good people and we won't go out drinking. And he fundamentally misses everything which is good about rugby. He kills the game. He kills the game with his dour, boring personality.
Let the boys let the boys play.
But there couldn't be a worse advert for it. I mean, he's basically got to his position by accident and now he's there, he wants to ruin it for everyone else.
Well, I think this is like the putting the tape in the bin and being nice to your neighbours and... He's talking a good game so that everyone thinks, oh, New Zealand, best in the world. They put all the tape in the bin. They mark out the pitches. They go and serve hot dogs at half time to distract them
from
this.
Exactly right.
So what he knows is that a team bonding session like Mad Monday is one of the best things you can do in a team sport because it brings everyone together. And he's just trying to take that advantage away from every other
club. Stuart Lancaster's found out about this, and that's why he destroyed the England team and their culture.
Stuart Lancaster just word for word did everything that Steve Hansen said, and England were farcical because Steve Hansen was saying it but not doing it.
Yeah.
Just going back to Steve Hansen, right? Wow.
Oh my word, I wish we were filming this.
You're right, Phil.
Oh, my God. you can probably hear what just happened. The chair that Phil sat on gave way.
You have to just stand by the microphone now, I'm afraid.
Booby-trapped these chairs, Jake?
Yeah, they're a bit old. Mine is giving way.
You know, like a guy's always really proud when he falls over, he's got a pint in his hand, and the pint manages to stay completely full. Your laptop is in perfect nick, Phil.
It's my work laptop as well. Thank God it's in perfect nick.
Right, I'll go and get you another chair. You carry on saying what you were saying about Steve Hansen.
Yeah, go on, Jake.
Right, so Steve Hansen. What I don't really get about the whole international coaching scene is I think most of the coaching improvements are basically done via the week-in, week-out grind of competitive rugby. Now, if you don't have that, I don't see how you're actually improving the team or anything else, quite frankly. I think most of the credit for New Zealand's awesome form has to go to the provincial coaches that watch the tape, that come up with the new techniques, that do everything.
That pick the best players and experiment with them.
Yes.
And give boys like Ardie Survey, who's, 21, something like that, and Bowden Barrett, who's early 20s, the chance to shine and have shone for a number of years.
Exactly. So when you get to All Blacks level, all you really need is a kit man.
Well, listen, I reckon we should jump from people having a mad Monday to people that are going to have a mad fortnight. And that's, have you heard about the stories from inside the Olympic Village? A hive of sexual activity, a hotbed of depravity.
Haven't.
Yeah, no, it is. They've dished out in Rio 100,000 condoms.
Is that right?
For the first week. Well, think about it, right? You're in the prime of your physical life.
Thank you.
Hypothetically, these people in Rio are in the prime of their physical life. They've made sacrifices for the last 4 years, said no to everything, trained hard and been totally focused. As soon as their event's out the way, they're in a concentrated area with loads of fit young people from all sorts of countries. Mm. Apparently in the Sochi Winter Olympics, Tinder ground it completely jammed and jammed and didn't work because there were so many people on it. And Grindr in London 2012 stopped working.
Did it?
Near the Olympic Park, yeah.
Wow.
There's so many athletes were getting on it. So Sonny Bill's there.
Yeah.
Sonny Bill's going to do some damage.
Sonny Bill doesn't need Tinder or Grindr or anything.
Well, he's married with a young baby.
Exactly. But he wouldn't need it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he...
Is he the biggest star there? Who the...
Rugby-wise.
Rugby-wise, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the biggest star, isn't he? Yeah. Who do you reckon the biggest star is there?
Usain Bolt.
Do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Serena Williams is...
Yeah,
that's
his one, like,
big,
Serena
big
Williams.
What about the... Because golf's in it now. But a load of the top golfers haven't travelled.
No, they can't be bothered. There's not many in it.
Well, I think that it should be the pinnacle of your sport,
yes,
the Olympic Games, and I don't like that golf isn't.
Yeah.
Tennis.
Or tennis, really.
Well, football. Murray's there and Serena Williams there, so tennis is big.
It should be like the World Cup, football is, all the sports that don't get any say.
Yeah.
Like football and boxing and...
Amateur boxing's different, though, in fairness.
Yeah, but why not just open it up?
Yeah, I'd like to see. I'd love to see that.
Yeah,
I think MMA should be in it. Although God knows how you do an MMA tournament in 2 weeks.
Oh, brutal face.
Semi-final. No.
But Sonny Bill Williams has already been making most of his life as an Olympian. He's been hanging out with Usain Bolt. When you see the two of them
No, he's not.
Usain Bolt's been hanging out with Sonny Bill Williams.
Correct. Yeah.
When you see them both together, you realise what a big unit Usain Bolt is.
Yeah.
He could do a good job.
I saw a picture of the. The New Zealand Sevens team, and bear in mind they're seven, so they're a bit lighter and a bit smaller.
Yeah.
They were with Michael Phelps, and Michael Phelps looked small to the rest of those
boys.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. Well, back to the stars. We forget the USA basketball team are there.
Yes.
And that's fairly star-studded.
But do they,
yeah, that's true.
Do they always put out their best players?
They did last time, weren't
they?
This time.
They're all the USA basketball team are not staying in the Olympic Village. They're staying on a cruise ship that's been docked in the port.
Really?
Yeah.
Because really?
Yeah, genuinely. The USA have got a luxury cruise liner docked in Rio where a load of their athletes are staying.
Yeah, well, just going back to like comparative athlete sizes, look at the stats of Mauro Itoje.
Yeah,
we all agree it's a big unit,
big boy.
And then look at the stats of LeBron James. It's night and day. LeBron James is so much bigger.
Someone like Dwight Howard.
Oh my God!
Have you ever seen a picture of Dwight Howard's shoulders?
Yes, they're like
two basketballs strapped.
What would
onto his
what
body.
Would he be like? I know obviously you'd have to have training over a long period of time to condition yourself to rugby. But do you reckon they would do a good job at second row?
Second row, 100,
is there too tall for being second row?
Absolute Charteris.
Can you be too big?
Luke Charteris does all right, doesn't he? Devin Toner.
Bafes,
yeah, he's massive.
Yeah,
I think there is, but I think it's probably more likely that if you're that tall, like over 7 foot, you're normally kind of out of proportion. So as long as you're in proportion, you should be okay.
And Dwight Howard and
Dwight
those little boys are in exactly the right proportion.
Yes.
Yes, that's true. Little fact for you, the Aussie men's sevens rugby team are rooming next to the Dutch women's hockey team.
I mean, you've just been going through like the rooms, thinking, "Oh, that's sexy."
No, I think I'm saying this because
I'm in the
business of trying to promote.
Don't tell us your business. Don't tell us.
Part of this podcast, we love rugby, but we want to spread rugby as far and wide as we can.
I'm not sure we've done that today.
Well, what better motivation is there to like maybe someone, an adolescent male? He's thinking,
God,
what sport do I play? And he hears that if you get into the Olympic Sevens team, you could
play with the Tongan bear.
You could room next to the Dutch women's hockey team. I mean, that's advertising rugby right there.
Guess it is. Guess it is.
If Chris,
have I ever told you a story about when I went to Curran Nantwich?
No.
Right, so I went to Crewe and Nantwich to play a game of rugby, and I finished off the game, this was like 4 years ago, and I was having a shower, showering next to a guy from Crewe, and we're just chit-chatting. He says, oh, yeah, there's a sevens tournament. We got onto it, and he goes, yeah, it was really funny, because it was a mixed sevens tournament, and all the lads were showering, and they all going, yeah, lads, drinking, yeah, going out later, girls, pulling. And then a women's rugby team walked into the showers completely naked, and he said, like, in the split second it took for us to go, lads, the women came in, and they were like, oh, hello, oh, we'll get out now, bye.
But yeah, the sevens is starts today. We're recording this on Saturday after the Super Rugby final. The women's sevens starts today at the Olympics, and it's going on for the next till next weekend, I think.
Yes, yeah, women's today. And then I think it's every day for the best part of a week.
And now it's on, what's the time difference? It'll be on late at night, won't it?
So the first game is 3 p.m. British summer time.
Yep.
And today finishes at 10:30 p.m. British summer time. So it's not bad.
Pretty good. So we'll keep an eye on that one. And before the podcast is done, we'll have a little interview that we've previously done with Rob Vickerman about the Olympic Sevens. So we can indulge a bit more there. In fact, should we put that here?
Yeah. Drop it in right about now.
We're with Rob Vickerman, Sevens legend, former Leeds Falcon.
You changed the name. Yeah. Lots of Falcons in Yorkshire. It could work.
Right, we want to chat to you, Rob, because you know Sevens, and the Olympics is coming up, which everyone is excited about, not just rugby fans. So maybe if there's anyone that finds this bit of audio and doesn't totally know what they're looking at, give us the insight of the benefit of your experience.
So basically, when you talk about sevens, you talk about a highlight version of the game. You're looking at offloads, massive men making line breaks and doing things normally you wouldn't often see in 15s. You throw the fact that every single 15 minutes is two different teams playing against each other. It's highly competitive with 8 different winners in the series this year. The Olympics is a perfect format, taking 12 of the best teams from around the world and putting them in a festival action come Rio. A lot of the world are going to realise that rugby sevens is very much a different beast to 15s, and that should be entertaining in itself.
Are there any roles in the sevens game which are unique to sevens which you don't find in 15s?
Roles, not necessarily. I mean, you can take little bits of each part of the game within sevens. So you get restart specialists, you get some line-out specialists. At the same time, you get playmakers and you get very fast finishers. You always see those in 15s. The problem is, over 18 minutes, you see them for about 30 seconds. Put them in a sevens context, that exposure with obviously less men on the pitch means you see a lot more of the things people want to see in 15s.
That's a really interesting point. So if you're going out to play an opposition, you think they're particularly strong at, say, kickoff, will you adjust your team to incorporate more specialists at restart?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Or will that always be constant?
It's exactly that point, and specifically with restarts. So with the game now, meaning you need to dominate your restarts, once you score, you get to kick again, slight variation of 15s. So you could actually change the whole game plan based on the fact that you have 2 or 3 taller players who are incredibly good in the air, knowing full well if you get, say, 3 scores from restarts, you're more than likely going to win the game. So that definitely happens. Conversely, in defence of restarts, which sometimes can be quite hilarious to see, you get backs lifting backs as a pod. Almost straight away, change of mindset. You think you're a forward, you become very, very stupid.
That's really interesting. So how much will you dedicate to things like lifting? Because presumably before you played sevens, you'd never done that before in your life.
Exactly that. You get scrum halves throwing in, which is one part. You get backs trying to learn how to lift. The first time you see this happen, it is hilarious. It's like they're on a bouncy castle, but they think the floor suddenly falls out from underneath them. So you spend half your time thinking, oh, this is great, I'm in the air. Oh my God, I'm 5 foot in the air. How the hell do I land?
I used to play on the wing, and then I moved into the pack, and the first time I ever got lifted, I simultaneously kneed my teammate in the face and kicked the other one in the groin. Yeah.
Which was my second point. So when you see the guys in the air, more often than not, they get dropped because the other person is well, trying to save themselves on the floor.
Now, Phil is one of those guys. He was quick when he played. Much like you, he had to retire prematurely. But he was rapid. And so he probably just assumed, oh, well, sevens is for him. So we see players with gas, but gas isn't everything, is it?
No, not at all. Now, I thought you were going to say I'm like Phil because I'm quick, but clearly not the case. The whole thing with sevens is there's a real different need for different skill sets. So we've seen this weekend gone. If anyone gets a chance to look at the highlights, please, please do. You get Nakawawa in the middle of the pitch, who's 6'5", albeit quite quick himself. He just never, ever dies with the ball. His offload stats were insane. He made the ball look like a peanut in his hand. So straight away, you put that in the middle of the pitch, then suddenly these guys on the outside, who perhaps are the quick ones, get to do what they do. Similarly, you see that in 15s. You get the playmakers in the middle, who are the short, sharp guys, but at the same time, the finishers are pretty lethal in sevens because you always get that go forward with them.
So you just mentioned Nakarawa for Fiji, yes, coming in after a couple of good seasons for Glasgow. Ahead of the Olympics, there's quite a few players, 15 specialists, who are kind of looking to convert. Joe Simpson, Sonny Bill Williams, Nakarawa, plenty of others. Who do you think are going to be kind of successes and who do you think haven't quite got it or won't quite make it?
Yeah, well, as a disclaimer now, I've got to say, I really appreciate the fact that Sonny Bill's put his hand up. I want to play 15s and has immersed himself in the series. You need, from experience, at least 6 months of exposure with sevens, because it is a different beast, not even in terms of strength and conditioning, but even the fact you see very different pitches. And Sonny Bill, he'll put his hand up. He's probably not transitioned as best as he thought. Habana, again, wouldn't be near the South African 12. So whilst these guys are huge, huge names in the world of 15s, we're seeing now the fact that transitioning thing, it just isn't going to happen. My problem with Fiji is you bring in someone like Nakarawa, who, irrelevant of 15s exposure, is one of the best rugby players, 15s or 7s, and that's very much a different case.
Do you think there's any other second row in the world rugby who could immediately start playing 7s and do as well as he has?
No. I'm a massive, massive fan of Super Maro. He would still struggle to do anywhere near what Nakarawa was. What he did at the weekend was simply breathtaking.
Final question then, because obviously Great Britain are going to be sending a team there, and you mentioned it takes 6 months, it takes a lot of work. So there's some new faces in that. How do you see Great Britain going? Do you hold much hope of a medal?
I hold a lot of hope. It's probably the English in me. I think if they end up facing one of Fiji, South Africa, Australia, perhaps even New Zealand in the quarters, it's going to be a very tough ask. The joy of sevens is you can win games often in situations you perhaps aren't meant to. So there's always a chance. Don't ever write people off. At the same time, if you're looking at it, I fear Fiji. I really do.
Rob Vickerman, thanks for your time.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Well, that was interesting.
Wasn't it? Rob Vickerman, good lad. And he's
one of the nicest men that you'll meet. As well, to be fair.
Yeah, really
so,
nice.
We'll let you into a little bit of a secret here. We tried to make him play a game called Defend the Indefensible. It's similar to what you'd hear on like Fighting Talk.
Yeah.
Right? Two guys bought into it. Adam Jones bought into it big time. And who's
Kevin,
the other one? Kevin Sinfield.
Kevin Sinfield. He was super. He was outstanding.
Rob Vickerman was devastated that he'd have to say bad things about his friend.
Yeah.
Absolutely devastated.
So was... David Wallace. David
Wallace simply wouldn't say a bad thing about Munster.
Yeah. or Paul O'Connell.
Yeah. Which is fair enough. That's one of the nice guys.
Let's move on from the sevens then to some of the signings that have been announced this week. Willie LaRue to Wasps has been confirmed. We knew about it for a while. Just going to put it out there. Do their accountants at Wasps need a head injury assessment?
Okay. I have got a theory. Okay. It's not an exciting theory. It's not one of my normal idiot theories. I think with the salary cap going up, all these clubs are getting their deals done early, and they're big by today's comparison, but it wouldn't surprise me if these deals contain something like an escalator to say...
Next year?
This year you get X, next year you get Y.
Ah.
That's what I think's going on. So you get them all in early, the salary cap goes up, and then boom. But Willie LaRue could be a marquee.
Oh, yeah, he'll be outside of the salary cap as a marquee player.
He could be.
Well, I'm not sure he's worth it.
Well, I was looking at the Wasp squad the other week and trying to work out the two marquee players, and obviously KB was one, who was in a reported 750,000. And I was going for Marty Moore, Irish international prop, a tight head prop, as a potential other marquee player. But Willie LaRue on the open market, I presume, would earn more than Martin.
I think they could have got Kyle Eastman as a marquee player as well.
They possibly could, because he was released from Bath. But I don't think Kyle Eastman is worthy of a marquee player.
I don't think
also, there are you do get injury. You can get extra money for injuries.
Right.
And so Kirtley Beale injury means that
some of it would have been, some of Kyle Eastman's money could have been allocated. And it's confusing anyway, but yeah. I'm sure, I have no doubt that they're under the salary cap, but it's that back line.
And they made a big deal out of saying they were under the salary cap, so it'd be amazing if
they
went
back. And they had to open their books because of the takeover last year. So
the other thing as well, which is interesting, is Bath. Bath have signed a load of new deals. I think Saracens have signed some new deals.
They're all signing new deals.
Think they're getting all their business done early now to defeat the cap, if you like, so they've got loads more to spend later.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But that makes it even more difficult for whoever gets promoted next season, because all these deals are done even earlier, so there's no one left for the promoted team.
Yeah, not only is it hard because there's no one left, it also makes it hard because as soon as next year's deals start being done, and inevitably they'll have huge amounts of player wage inflation inside.
Yeah.
When that new team comes up, they're going to have to pay the new rates for the new players. So you have to fill your squad with extra expensive players whilst the existing squads have got their academy credits and their cheaper deals.
Yeah.
That back line is utter filth, though. Here's a backup back line for Wasps. Joe Simpson, Jimmy Gopeth, Josh Bassett, Kyle Eastman, Nick DeLuca, Solosi Tangiathakinbau, Rob Miller. A backup.
I'm not sure if it's... I don't think Gopeth will be a backup.
Do you think he'll be starting ahead of Sippers?
Yes, I do. They need some sort of substance in that backline, don't they? You can't just have... It can't just be that. It can't just be refined white sugar. You need something else.
Well, mate, I mean, the most amazing thing about that backline is it's been put together by a prop.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is probably why he doesn't understand much about sport backlines together. That stacks up quite nicely, actually.
Yeah. That's one thing. I know we've got the England EPS to talk about and everything as well. We've
got Harlequins.
Harlequins and Sale, yeah.
Yeah, talk about Harlequins and Sale, then.
Should I do that now?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so Quins first.
So this is us putting teams under the microscope and having a good old close-up look at their chances. And the last two in the Aviva Premiership are, like you say, Quins and Sale.
So Quins haven't lost a huge number of players. Obviously, Easter's retired. Ben Botica, they're probably glad to see the back of him to Montpellier. Tito Tibaldi, the reserve scrum half. And Kieran Treadwell, who's a lock, who's gone to Ulster. He's an Irish qualified lock. Quite a big boy as well, so I'm quite interested to see him. And they brought a few lads in, but again, no great shakes. We spoke about the Connacht number 8, George Nawapu, last week.
That all looks like backup signings, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Mark Reddish from the Highlanders, Rory Jackson from Wasps, Charlie Mulcrone from Worcester Warriors scrum half, and they brought in this young lad, Hollenstein, who's a young South African prop. He's been playing.
What's
in
his
France.
Name?
He's called Cameron Hollenstein.
Hollenstein.
Okay. Hollenstein. He's been playing at Pau. He's 21 years old, and he's quite a big boy.
South African.
Yeah. And it's interesting because looking at their squad, their front row, so loosehead prop Joe Marler starting is very, very good all round prop. But both their hooker and their tight head props, it feels like they've got three people in that position who, if you kind of combined all their skills, you'd have a complete player. So Buchanan, Gray, and Ward as their hookers, you've got kind of one who's big in Buchanan, one who's quite athletic.
Why don't scientists work out a way to merge those three players into one rather than worrying about Exeter Chiefs' name? Come on.
Yes, that's a better thing.
Because people who worry about Exeter Chiefs' name aren't really scientists, Tim.
And then the tight head prop is exactly the same in Adam Jones, the kind of war horse. You got Sinclair, who's young but can't scrummage or needs to work on his scrummaging, let's say.
Incredible loose play.
Will Collier's a middle ground.
Yeah. Mark Lambert.
Who's a loosehead?
Yeah. So, a little bit of a plug for my other podcast, Rugby Dungeon. I had Marler on, and he was basically saying that last year the defence was shocking. The defence was shocking, the attitude was wrong about defence. And he reckons actually one of the biggest improvements will be appointing Nick Easter as defence coach. Mm. Now, the flip side to that is it's one of those jobs which there's no downside, because if they're rubbish, they're rubbish anyway. If they were good, he's obviously a genius.
Yeah.
So,
go on, Tim.
No, I was going to say, I'm just looking at the back line down on paper that Phil's got in front of him, and one name that isn't even on that list that was one of the guys I was talking about during the under 20 championship, Joe Marchant. is definitely he's going to have a breakout season, and you know, Harlequins have been lacking a bit in the centres. Jamie Roberts added something, but they've been missing, that they've been in, a little bit in limbo in their centre combination. But Roberts Marchant could be a lethal combo.
And George Lowe, who's back to fitness last season.
That's the boy I like.
But it's interesting. So Marchant, who's now been called up to the England squad, you could have a back line, Harlequin's back line, that when the internationals are on, when someone like Jackson and Visser and Jamie Roberts and Danny Kerr and Mike Brown, when they're all playing for their country, when they're on their national squad, they could have no one from their starting back line.
Yeah.
You go for Nick Evans, who presumably would still be starting, but you could have just Nick Evans from their first choice back line.
And we talked about it last season.
Because Rory Jackson might be off in Scotland,
particularly with Finn Russell's concussion issues.
And we talked about it a lot last season. Harlequins, it's like, I would want to buy non-international but good players. Like, and actually,
Wasps have done that, really.
Well, Sippers is not in the EPS. We can get onto that in a minute. I wouldn't want too many. Harlequins get absolutely ravaged by international call-ups.
Yeah, and it should. We made the point before, last season with the World Cup and the condensed season, it did have a bigger impact than it normally does. But you still lose players, and you've got players who need to be rested, more importantly, under the new RPA, Aviva Premiership deal.
I see Harlequins being a lot more competitive this season than last, for the reasons we just mentioned. I don't see them in top four, but I do see them in top six. I think they'll finish sixth.
I don't know. I think the league is going to look like this. It's going to be Saracens number one. Everyone else under that can go next top three. And then the bottom four are going to be Gloucester, Worcester, Bristol, Newcastle. That's the competition. Can you be the best of the rest? And there's going to be a huge gap between them and Saracens. So can they finish top four? Absolutely. Will they? Who knows?
I'd say they've won. I'd say they'd probably be lucky to get top six, in my mind.
Sale, whereabouts, how do they compare?
I've got big hopes for Sale this year. Big hopes.
It'll be interesting. So obviously they've...
We've got a dog now. Add to the menagerie of this podcast.
He's a good boy though, isn't he? Anyway, sorry, go on.
So they've obviously lost a few players. Sippers and Tommy Taylor to Wasps, Cobbelash. Tom Brady didn't play a huge amount last year.
But great lad.
None of the other signings really make a difference, to be honest. It's Vadim Cobbelash, Tommy Taylor, Danny Cipriani. Those are the ones that make a difference.
And Tom Brady. Yes. Friend of the pod, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady for his just banter and chat.
Social side.
Great lad. Without a doubt.
They've brought in, it's a ragtag bunch, who if they can kind of weave them together in some coherent pattern, they could do something. They've got a few kind of interesting potential, a few journeymen. So you've got Rob Webber, mm-hmm. you've got Mike Phillips coming in, you've got Polani Alika, you've got Josh Charnley coming from Rugby League, Kieran Longbottom, former Western Force prop from Saracens, Lou Reed from Cardiff Blues.
I'll go on.
Lou Reed's meant to be mental, by the way.
The most important one out of all of them, Irish USA international AJ McGinty.
Yeah, if he doesn't go well, it's over.
Yes, I completely agree with that.
Well, it's interesting because Mugford is the other one, and they've got high hopes for him.
Who?
Oh, Dan Mugford. He came from
Nottingham.
So I actually think, so my team in the NFL are the Raiders. Part of the Raiders' storied history is like in the early days, they just used to get all this ragtag bunch of rejects and used to win everything. Now, I'm not saying these guys are rejects. I think these are some top quality players.
And the New England Patriots do it in a very different way.
Yes. And I actually think that Sale will go very well this year. I like their signings up front, and that's what they build their whole game plan on. And what we haven't really mentioned is how established that back line is getting with Mike Haley, Will Addison. They've got the two centres already in there.
It's the young English lads like Sam James, like Will Addison, like Mike Haley. They're the ones that you want to step up and shine.
Yeah, I think they will. Oh, Sam James, of course, the King of Wilmslow.
Yes.
You didn't become the King of Wilmslow by accident.
Keep an eye out for George Knotts this season as well. Yeah, so under 20s back row player, look good.
Yeah, they've got plenty to look forward to. And who better to marshal a massive pack around a field than
Strings.
And if you want a bit more massive, get on
Big Mike,
big sexy Mike Phillip.
I don't know. I'm not as optimistic as you are. I think Sale always benefit disproportionately in a World Cup year.
Yeah, you can. I can see that.
But they were
when they got into top six, when they got into the Heineken Cup first time round a few years back, that was 4 years ago, a World Cup year. And they don't get many.
And the year after that, they almost got relegated.
And the year after that,
Didn't they win in the Heineken Cup? Not in this year.
Were they in the year before as well?
And maybe? To be in this year, you'd have to qualify the year before, wouldn't you?
Yeah. No, they qualified for this season's by top six.
And last year they I remember watching against Saracens and Munster. They were in the same group.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, they were. So you know they've been consistent.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Someone else who should be mentioned. Josh Beaumont,
yes.
If he's back fit, because a lot of last season, you forget that they kind of played with three sevens in Braid, Lund, Seymour, and then Ioane.
Yep.
But having someone who can get them front football, proper go forward in Beaumont, I think will make a big difference.
Can I tell you what I think they've got in their favour, other than Steve Diamond, who's excellent, is I think it's a very simple organisation. They run very few sort of patterns, but they run them well. They practice things that they're good at, and they stick to their strengths. And that's it. It's not.
They have very few everything. That's pretty much how Sale operate.
No, wait. Look at that squad. Fans, I don't think it's a bad squad at all.
Stars.
Fans, yes.
Roads to the ground. Very, very few.
Pubs near the ground.
Yeah. So for me, I think Sale won't get top six this year.
Seventh, I'm going for.
I'm going fifth.
Right.
Okay.
Fifth, pushing for fourth.
What do you think? Tell us what you reckon at Rugby Podcast if you think we've insulted your team, Quins or Sale. And well, I guess next week we can start casting our eye over.
We've got 3 weeks till the kickoff of the Premiership, right?
Yeah.
From next week, so we might go like Scotland's
Pro 12 teams, yeah. Ireland's Pro 12 teams, Wales's Pro 12.
We could do that in like a minute in one show, I guess.
And should we squeeze in Italy's Pro 12 teams?
Oh yeah.
Well,
I couldn't pronounce the names. I wouldn't know who they are.
All right. England's EPS squad's been announced. Then Eddie Jones named 45 men for his squad, a high performance squad. Some winners, some losers. Phil's got a spreadsheet prepared. This is
color coded spreadsheet.
This is why we love you, Phil. It's been some winners, some losers. Well, you take it away then, Phil.
Some surprising new caps and some very unsurprising new caps. The surprising ones. Charlie Ewells, second row for Bath, who's former England under-20s captain.
Yep.
Mike Williams, who's a Zimbabwean-born second row.
I like that.
Second row slash back row. Yeah.
Will Evans, another Leicester Tigers, who's an open-side flanker, yeah. It'll be interesting to see, because it has been reported that he might be moving somewhere from Leicester, but think with the academy credits and with him being called up to the England squad, you want
unlikely.
It's really and like you say, if you look at players who will be looking on the outside feeling disappointed, Will Evans is in because Matt Kovacic, good player as he is, reasonable player as he is at club level, is not an international seven. Will Evans maybe has the potential to be that.
I don't know about Kovacic. He hasn't had a fair shot, so until you see him.
From what I've seen at Gloucester, he does.
People at Gloucester rave about him. They rave.
Yeah.
And they know their rugby down there.
I've never seen it, though.
We've never seen it, but they watch week in, week out.
Great turnover, and then a horrendous penalty given away.
That's it. For every magnificent turnover. And when you're a Gloucester fan, you'll attribute the positive ones more highly. Whereas us from a neutral perspective.
Are you saying Gloucester fans have confirmation bias?
Possibly.
I say
every partisan rugby fan or any partisan sports fan has confirmation bias.
Well, I would just say, part of being a seven is building your reputation. So Richie McCaw did everything illegal, but he's Richie McCaw, so it had to be legal. Now, if you played like Richie McCaw and you've got no name, you probably wouldn't even get a start because you give away so many penalties. So I think he needs a shot to prove what he can do.
So what you're saying is Kvezic is the next Richie McCaw.
Ooh, yeah, okay. Maybe not.
So the other new caps, Nathan Hughes, worst kept secret in rugby, he's New Zealand born Fijian and Samoan descent, lived in Australia, and is now playing for England.
It's not right that he's playing for England.
It is right.
But I will have him all day long. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
He needs to pay his mortgage. He should absolutely.
No. I agree. And the career's short, and he can reap far more benefit. And we need to look at that overall as a sport, and that's World Rugby's job. But so I don't begrudge him doing it. I just don't like that he has done it. He's not going to be singing that national anthem and pulling on that rose.
Yeah, but you wouldn't sing the national anthem, Tim, because you hate the Queen. You're a Republican.
I am a Republican, but I would. But it would still the pulling on of that rose would mean something very, very different to me than it would to Nathan Hughes.
Yeah.
Like, one, because it would be like, what the hell am I doing here? I'm 14 stone.
Good God, what have I done?
I'm going South Africa. To die. Someone's made a terrible mistake.
Well, talking of terrible mistakes, I've got a theory.
Go on.
Do you reckon Eddie Jones is like, right, okay, we need a bit more of an abrasive pack. Get me that large Zimbabwe guy. The guy who plays
Mike
six.
Mike Williams.
Dave Ewers? No, Mike Williams.
On it, boss. Mike, yeah. I think you're up. I don't know. You're from Zimbabwe, right?
A couple of other...
Could have been Don Armand for the same thing.
Yeah.
Don Armand is Zimbabwe, lad.
Is he South African?
He's South African.
He's a Southern African boy.
My God, that's a good back row, isn't it? And Pocock as well.
Yeah, get Pocock in there.
Yeah. Or Dave Denton.
I would love... I'd love there to be like a non-cap team. You know, like the Maoris are a non-cap team.
Or like the Olympic non-national.
Yeah.
You know,
it'd be nice
to
see like the Zimbabwe team, the Zimbabwe heritage team play together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just.
The Barbarians could do it, couldn't they?
Yeah.
They could collect, like, have one game.
Because you've got.
That would be a brilliant story.
It would be a great thing for
rugby to do. I'd really love that.
And you've got, what's his name?
Jack Berger to coach it.
No, he's Namibian.
Oh, he's Namibian. Oh, well. Sorry.
Completely different, mate.
Isn't
Beast.
George Gregan of Zimbabwean descent?
He coach, I guess.
He could coach it.
I mean, you know, he's got a lot of other things going on, but he can scrap that.
Yeah.
And go and coach this non-cap team for one game.
Back to the EPS.
Yes.
The other non-caps. So Josh Beaumont, who was called up previously, not got any caps. Robson of Wasps, alongside Simpson of Wasps, both at scrum half, but Simpson is previously capped. Ben Teo, still not got a cap yet, but he's in the squad.
Not for long.
Joe Marchant, who we spoke about earlier today, Tim, you've been raving about after the under-20s. And Mike Healy, who was superb for the Saxons in South Africa. The South African commentators were very funny every time he got the ball.
Yeah.
No, not him again.
Like a Labrador pent up for days.
And then there's players that have previously been capped that are back in.
Yes, like Tom Youngs.
Tom Youngs, Johnny May.
May, Joe Simpson.
Johnny May, injury, got back from that. Tom Youngs, was he injured or something? Or was he just dropped?
Tom Youngs was dropped. But you look at it and think he's in a scrap with Mullet hyphen Dickey for the third hooker spot.
Yeah, because Hartley and George would be one and two, as things stand. Rightly so. So there's a couple of other things I want to kind of raise. The people that missed out, I've got a couple of little columns on the right-hand side. So Kvesic's obviously in there. As it are Dave Ewers and Don Armand. Kieran Brooks at tight end.
Yep.
They've named three tight ends in the squad, Dan Cole, Paul Hill and Kyle Sinclair. No Kieran Brooks. Which I can only see there is something fundamentally wrong with either his play or his scrummaging or his tackling or something.
Well, he was the guys at Leicester who watched him and they're not impressed. I mean,
They let him go.
But they
again, confirmation bias.
But they rate Balmain higher. I mean, they wouldn't say, like, we rate Mike...
Come on.
That's what they say.
That's what they say, but that's like you say, that's because they've... Who do you like better, your own tight head or the one for your arch-rivals that you let
Well,
go?
They let him go to Newcastle.
To Newcastle, but he's now at Northampton.
I tell you what, it's very telling, isn't there, that there wasn't a better market for him than Newcastle when he left.
I think it was great that he did it, and I look at... The hooker, McGuigan, that's gone from Newcastle to Leicester, and wonder if he'll be following the same path back down.
Yeah, but you can't really think that he did it out of, you know, a sense of love for Newcastle. Because he had nowhere to go.
That was the best option at the time.
Yeah.
But he has also, he's developed a lot since then.
He's a massive man.
He's matured, yeah. So that's a surprise. Atwood missing out at second row. I know you're disappointed in that, Jay.
Not as much as I would have been in previous years.
You look at it and you think that what were the young guys for England are now the incumbent and gaining with experience and taking to international rugby. No worries, Cruz and Itoji most notably. So you sort of go, well, actually, I'm quite happy with them. I know where I am with them, so I don't need to.
Yeah,
I don't need anyone else. Got Laws as well and Launchbury is back up. Atwood, we don't good as you are. We don't need you. So let's see what Ewells can do. But if there was a few injuries and you had to play a test match
tomorrow, I'd rather go for Atwood ahead of Ewells, but I recognise that the others have more potential.
I mean, I'm surprised that it doesn't go something like... I mean, you've got the two incumbents, then you've got
the four incumbents, really, because Laws were both on the bench in Australia.
Yeah. Is there someone we missed as well? Parling.
Parling, yeah. Oh, you'd say done, isn't Parling's it? Okay. Leave him.
Good as he looks in his Canterbury stash.
Oh, great.
Yeah, interestingly, the back row, so there's only one real kind of recognised blindside, even though he's not really a recognised blindside, in Chris Robshaw. You've got Haskell, you've got Harrison, you've got Clifford, who's a 7 or 8, really, and then Will Evans, who's definitely a 7.
Hughes is 6 all day long, isn't he?
Well, Eddie Jones has said Nathan Hughes could... He is considering it as a 6. But you just think, why not go for someone like Dave Ewers or even Don Armand to balance it up a bit better?
Well, do you know what? Do you think that the Mike Williams pick is a little bit like the Tamona Harrison pick? He likes tough, abrasive men.
Abrasive, yeah.
And that's exactly what Mike Williams is.
He can cover off a few
positions.
A few boxes, a bench, possible bench player.
Tamona Harrison in the squad?
Yeah, yeah. He's in as an open side flanker, I think he'd be considered that.
Hmm? Jeez, England have got some depth and talent.
Yeah. And then the other one...
So weird, because it's not what we were saying straight after the World Cup.
Yeah, not at all.
Well, no, we were saying they had the players and...
I said they had the players.
Yeah.
And then at 10... So assuming that Owen Farrell, who's the incumbent inside centre, remains at inside centre, which there's no reason when England have won what, 10 games on the bounce or something like that, there's no reason why you wouldn't do it, then George Ford is the only recognised out-and-out 10 in the squad, with then Farrell and Slade. So the question is, well, why wouldn't you call up, if you've got a 45-man squad, why would you not call up another out-and-out 10 in Cipriani, or even someone like possibly Freddie Burns, who'd probably be next
Freddie
in
Burns
line.
Is in for a good season this year, I feel.
I think he could be as well.
Andy Dewey's 27, though.
Is he?
That came around quick.
That's no age, but...
it's
yeah.
a massive age if you're not an established international.
It's interesting, isn't it? But he's obviously in... Well, yeah...
He obviously rates both Farrell and Slade as
better options.
Yeah, better options to be 10. And it hints that Manu Tuilagi, who's previously been injured, if he gets fit, and if it'll be 2 months of Premiership before the Autumn Internationals, if he can get 8 consistent games under his belt, you've got to say Tuilagi will be back in contention for that 12 shirt. And then it would be Farrell and Ford fighting out starting 10 jersey.
Yep, pretty good.
And the only other name we've not mentioned, who I think is the correct call, is Chris Ashton, who's missed out, which was one of the headlines for a lot of the papers. But for me...
No surprise.
Particularly, no. I can overlook some of his defensive frailties. I can overlook some of his...
I don't think it really exists.
Oh no, they do. They hide him so well in that Saracens team because they're so well organised.
Saracens got all the money in the world. Why didn't they just ditch him and get another?
Because he's a brilliant finisher. He's one of the best finishers in the game. No. This goes back to your point about world class players.
Well, no, I haven't made it yet.
This exactly aligns with your point on world class players. So you're contradicting yourself.
All right. So my point is, no one can be truly world class unless you're utterly deficient at doing something else.
At one thing. So Chris Ashton, world class finisher. Not the best defensive player.
Exactly right.
Thank you, Jay. Yeah, my point.
Yeah, if you can think of any... Yeah, I'll have it, because it proves my point. It makes me right.
Right on one thing, incorrect on the other.
Not so much.
The Chris Ashton thing, it's not surprising, because he was offered a place on the Saxons tour to South Africa, and he turned it down.
Yeah, rightly so.
So...
Yeah, do one.
Yeah, exactly.
Do one. Players shouldn't... Players don't retire from international rugby. If you get,
I don't know. He hasn't retired. He's just going.
I'll only play for the first team.
There was that story yesterday going, James Milner has retired from international football. I said, no. Do you know what? No.
No.
I don't want rugby to be like that.
Yeah.
If your country calls on you, it's your duty, and you answer your country.
It's not
call.
A war though, Tim, is it? You know,
it should be like that. It should be like that.
We need more guys in the trenches now.
Well. Yeah,
I understand it. I understand it particularly. I understand it more with rugby than football, because if you're advancing in age and your career is important to you, making money is important to you, you do need to make the decision: can I get more money from the club and retire from international rugby? I think it's important.
15 grand match fee for England.
Yeah, but what if you're a Fijian or a Samoan?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It does make a difference.
Yeah, I hear
you. I think in England, I don't think many England internationals
decide,
do they?
Well, you choose to go and play for France and go, I want the rules to change.
Just out of interest.
Yeah, you say, I want the rules to change, but you're actually going, no, I want to another 3 seasons earning this much money.
Has anyone for England retired from England, but not from club?
I don't know.
Is it worth asking the question,
isn't
it?
I'm glad that it's not something you hear very often from rugby
because
players.
Because England football players don't get paid to play for England.
Well, they do, but they give it to charity.
That's absolute nonsense, isn't it?
it's a nice act.
No, it's nonsense. They're professionals. You know, accountants don't give some of their fees away because they've got, you know, an exceptional job. It's rubbish.
Not unless it's tax efficient and they end up like not actually having to pay it anyway.
Yeah, I think charity functions are one of the biggest tax dodges that there are. Let's just throw a massive party and give it. No, anyway.
I'm looking at the time and Philip has an appointment. I have a 12 o'clock appointment as well.
And I have my first game with Didsbury Rugby Club today.
Oh, do you? Tock H.
We've got Tock H are playing Duckenfield, which used to be the home of Mike Ford, no less.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, that should be a good little trot out.
So we should wrap it up.
We should do.
Fine. Is that all right? Yeah. Okay, cool. When the battery's running out on the tablet. So from the sunny, beautiful back garden in central Manchester.
I'd be shirts off if I didn't love my beloved cane so much. It's that sunny.
With a chocolate Labrador and three chickens.
It's in four, there's one second on
four
eggs.
Four chickens in a hole. plane flying overhead, the sun beating down. We're the only rugby podcast that is here for you 52 weeks a year. So tell your mates and spread the word at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, iTunes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
An Acast. And JB, nice one.
Thank you.
Philip, good work.
Thank you, Tim.
Till next time.
Bye.